on YouTube, and we got the ginger saint of Cleveland sports, Michael Markoch, laying it down in the 2020s. Hi, JP.
Hello. How's it going today?
I haven't slept in 4 days. I mean, I've slept a little bit, but I haven't slept a lot. And so we are at the end of this cycle of insomnia, and so things will come out of my mouth today
that
normally wouldn't.
I thought we were sleep apnea brothers in arms. I thought we were moving forward on this.
Waiting on my mask. Waiting on the machine. Once we get the machine.
Well, it doesn't matter if Harbaugh disrupts it or anything in between. With sleep apnea, you're going to be sleeping nice. I had a good sleep last night.
I'm
like a baby, actually. It was really nice.
So I don't think it's sleep apnea related. I think it is my kids and I had a completely different schedule for 2 weeks during Christmas break, and now it's back, and my brain does not know my head from my booty. That's where we are.
I mean, I have two kids under three, and I still had a good night's sleep, all things considered. Or maybe I just forgot what a good night's sleep is.
Why are you sleep bragging? Why are you sleep bragging?
Because I'm not supposed to be the one that got better sleep than you last night, so I need to get to the bottom of why I got better sleep than you.
I think this is more of a me problem. I think that's where we are.
I want the CPAP to work out really well for you. I do. I really do. I think it's going to be a game changer for you.
I think it will be as well.
Somebody needs to get me like a CPAP endorsement or something. I cannot recommend something higher in my life than getting diagnosed for sleep apnea and then having it corrected and using that mask every night.
All right.
It's an actual game changer. I don't even care that I'm 36 and it is what it is.
Ken and Anthony have Extend Technologies together. You and
Could we get a CPAP?
Yeah.
Somebody, yeah. Something.
Yeah.
There's enough companies out there. Can somebody help us out? That's not a great look for our brand, by the way. Whatever our brand is, quote unquote, but like that's probably not the greatest.
Well, right after it's Home Health Alert.
Okay.
And then, of course, we're going to get the colostomy bag one.
The home health one. I've fallen and I can't get up. That's the one.
And then I'll literally fall and I won't be able to get up.
I did love those commercials.
But that's because I'm fat, not because I'm old or broken.
Could you imagine being the grandma in those commercials, though? It's like, I got casted. I got my big role.
Yeah.
I'm fallen and I can't get up, grandma.
Literally the big break.
Yeah. Oh, well, it sucks. I mean, if you get a big break late in life. You know, there's some sort of actors that it happens at like 65, 70 years old. They work in Hollywood for 40 years. Nothing ever happens. They're perceived to be basically just a struggling artist for their whole life. And then, boom, they're making Office money.
Yeah. Okay. But if you're a person who works your whole life.
Like the show, The Office.
Like the whole life. Your whole life. And you finally break it big, right?
I mean, it's better than never breaking big.
And then you go, I wish I would have got this 10 years earlier. You're a D-bag. You didn't learn anything on your trials.
It's not the, I wish I could have done it 10 years earlier. I do always feel bad for the people, though, that like they go for like 40 years and they try their butt off and then they finally hit it big. And it's like, their parents are dead at that point. All the people that have believed in them.
Their parents are dead
at that
point.
All the people have believed in them. They've won.
Maybe their parents being dead is why they finally had success.
They've long left. The horse is completely gone out of that stall at that point.
Didn't know how we were landing that plane.
Yeah, and we always do.
And if we're talking Matt Khalil all of a sudden.
And so I knew you'd love that story. And so like, but that sucks though. That sucks for those people because then you get no sense of like.
No, it doesn't.
I made it.
No, you do.
I did it.
That's what the money's
your
for.
Your parents that died thinking you're a loser in Los Angeles without a chance.
When People Magazine's doing an expose on your
without
home.
Without a chance.
And you've got like. $10 million in the bank, you have made it.
I don't know why it matters to me.
Also,
my dad died. I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
I hadn't accomplished or done anything in life at all.
Yeah.
He probably thought I was a loser in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, though. I don't know that. I don't know about
that one real quick.
Yeah,
you didn't like the way that one tasted.
No, because it sucks. If I want to feel bad for the struggling artist 40 years from now, I'm not going to let myself paint it in that sort of way.
Oh, no. I didn't make it by 22.
Yeah, my dad had a good understanding of what that is. I just graduated college. We're fine. It's okay.
But all the things that they say will hurt you in the long run, you can just get it out of the way. It's not going to hurt you anyway. It's not like you're going to be around for the long-term ramifications of it.
You mean like you can just bag your parents because they're dead and they can't respond?
I mean, if I'm the person that's
Max waiting
I'm
for
old
a certain
age.
Day.
I'm the one that's later on in life quick. Has my big break.
Did this story hit too close to home for you? Is that what's happening here?
I think that happened with both of you in this segment.
Well, the 22-year-old version of me definitely had a oh no. Did he die thinking something of me that isn't great? But no, we were fine. You're right. I just graduated college.
Yep.
What is he supposed to expect of a 22-year-old version of me?
We're all good here. We're all good.
It's fine. Doesn't matter.
This is all therapy for us.
Doesn't matter. What martyr?
Hard left. All right. Dan Pitcher, the Bengals offensive coordinator, going to be interviewed by the Browns. Jim Schwartz, Tommy Reese, have the Browns failed us by not having a head coach yet? 216-474-0092.
Yeah, they haven't failed us by not having one yet. Now, it does seem in the past 24 hours, the more and more people that want to come out and say the Browns have no chance in Harbaugh is a pretty interesting development.
Which peoples?
All sorts of people. Colin Cowherd today said no chance in hell for Browns for Harbaugh.
And he's like, very rarely ever right.
All sorts of people have come out and now made this, this big claim.
Colin Cowherd said an obvious thought that everybody's going to have. I am for...
Well, so now you think it is an obvious thought.
I think that's an obvious fan thought. I don't know what the reporters would say. That was a real bad pivot. That was not a great response. I'd like that one back. Go ahead and give it
another try.
Can you set me up again? Because I now don't remember how you set me up on the first
one. That's going to take us too long to figure that out.
All that.
Here's the point. The point is, I think a lot of people have come to the understanding that Harbaugh is likely waiting on the Bills or the Packers to lose a postseason game, and then they would probably be in the driver's seat to get Harbaugh services.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be the benefactor of that. Like, I'm perfectly fine. If all of a sudden it means the Packers fire LaFleur and we end up with Matt LaFleur, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. I don't know about Sean McDermott yet. We have to talk through that one at some point. But if we are just waiting for we don't get the guy, but we get the guy after the guy, that's not bad for me.
Yeah, and by the way, McDermott was a huge focal part of the coaching search back in 2019. Oh, wait, no. 2014? 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't 2019.
We've had a lot of these. Had a lot of these. No, it's 2016.
Did the Corn Fairy not like him?
No. That's who Deeth Podesta wanted to hire. And then I think Jimmy did a left turn and went right to Hugh Jackson, who is here, baby. But it's interesting. I agree with you. I think the obvious win, the clear win, is get John Harbaugh. And I expect... If the only way the Browns can really let me down on this is if they just don't try and open that door.
Right.
You have to go to his door, John Cusack, and say anything, have the boombox, and instead of a boombox, it's a $30 million a year check.
Right.
That you get turned down. Well, okay.
People don't like hearing this, but this is the same mentality they had with Deshaun Watson that I need you to have now with Harbaugh.
Yes.
Again, Daryl said, you got to learn to say no and take no for an answer. No, that's the wrong mentality. You don't have to have that mentality. If anything, Deshaun was the warm-up. You showed us.
I thought you were going to say Deshaun proved that.
No, and Deshaun did prove that, though, in more ways than one. But the reality is that, go back to Deshaun. 13 teams wanted Deshaun Watson, okay? And then he put it down to a final four. And at every step of that measure, what did people like Colin Cowherd and all the national pundits have to say? We got no chance. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson's not coming to Cleveland. And not only that, they brought up all sorts of different Texans-Browns games at First Energy Stadium, where afterwards he told John McClain how he would never play in Cleveland because he hated the weather here and everything else, right? Like, they had all sorts of different things against the Browns. And what did the Browns do? They found a way. So, like, between Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam, you worked whatever you think you worked in order to get Deshaun Watson. Do the same thing. You know the playbook. Be relentless. Do whatever you have to do because you did it once. You beat the rest of the NFL once, and it worked out horribly that you won those sweepstakes. But you did it. So you can do it again.
What you're saying is you do. I think that's what I'm hearing here is you don't fail big like this twice in a row. Certainly not if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Let's put it this way.
But I agree with your sentiment while I'm being a smartass.
Yeah, like it's the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons and that Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, right? They all ended up with a great outcome for themselves and that they didn't ruin their franchise. But at the end of that, all three of those franchises understood their guy doesn't have the cojones to get it done. Their guy doesn't have that final blank check to slide across the table the way that our guy does. So it ended miserably for us. But it also showed us that in these moments where the NFL world thinks we can't get it done, Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry can.
And this is Jimmy Haslam's value to us. At this moment, this is his value, is that pocketbook, both with coaches, with players, with the salary cap, all of it. So, but that's option A. I love that you're talking about option B because the collateral damage of this absolutely could dislodge another coach that you like and respect if you're the Browns. But I think all of this is... Like, we've seen the Aiden Dirty news. We mentioned Dan Pitcher, who was with Andrew Berry in Indy, I think, from 11 to 15. That's another name that has been kind of maligned, if we will. We've got Tommy Reese and Schwartz interviewing for this job.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that fans immediately go, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. Can I give the Browns a compliment to this point? There has not been a name. There have been names that have been like, oh, I didn't see that one coming, like Dan Pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh, he was good with Joe Burrow. I'm very surprised.
Which is kind of funny because it's like, are we going to get every offensive coordinator in the AFC North? Is that what this is? Is that what we're? Is Arthur Smith up next?
Listen, if you've helped a great quarterback continue to be great, come on down. That's the NFL, baby. But here's what I'll say. I like that we don't have the obvious candidates. Like, this is not a shot at Kenny, but Ken's list, I was like, did you just copy and paste that from Adam Schefter's tweet? Like, it was
You wanted the wide net. You wanted them to get creative with it. There's some creativity attached to this.
Because I think a very intelligent organization can do all of the things we're saying. They can pursue John Harbaugh as if he's the only coach they ever want to coach, while preparing for the collateral damage approach, which is a LaFleur or somebody else snakes free, and then you go, that guy becomes your guy if Harbaugh goes elsewhere. And then there is, all right, that's not going to work out. Let's go ahead. Like, this is, I think we're going to get stuck in this thing of, well, Mike Pettine was the sixth coach. Guys, I'm not doing this. Like, this is the organization that identified Kevin Stefanski when nobody else in the NFL wanted him. That same Kevin Stefanski, who until John Harbaugh was available yesterday, is the bell of the ball of the NFL. All anyone will say is how great. Do any of the guys right now reporting that are stamping, really going out there, going hard for Stefanski, those same guys had no idea who Kevin was 7 years ago.
Right, right.
The Browns did. So I'm going to give them as much credit as I can, and the idea that I'm not seeing Cliff Kingsbury in this search.
Although he did now hit the highest Vegas odds, by the way.
Yeah, Vegas, get your head out of your
Vegas made
your
Kingsbury the odds-on favorite.
All I saw was Kalshi, who had John
Kingsbury.
Harbaugh having the highest percentage chance to be the Browns' next head coach. So I'm focusing on those analytics. Those are my datas.
Is that your data?
Yep.
Kingsbury replaced Robert Saleh as the favorite. Harbaugh went from 33-1 to 6-1 is the new update.
I like those odds. I think
poor Saleh. He's like, what happened here? How did I lose out on this?
Did people go back and look at what happened in New York? Is that what happened? Well, no, we like good man Robert Saleh.
And Robert Saleh still might end up being the answer. That's kind of the interesting part of this. But it does feel like, especially with the offensive coordinators that they're bringing in, it does feel like they're going to try to do something. And this is where the pitcher conversation is interesting. If you get a guy like that, who's very much like Kevin Stefanski was when he came here, you get to keep your defensive coordinator. You get to keep everyone like that's already here because they don't have enough of a staff to go and replace everybody anyway.
But as of right now, I wanted them to interview Schwartz. I don't really object to them interviewing Reese. Again, like if you said Tommy Reese or Dan Pitcher, boy, do we have a Sophie's choice on our hands. But like they're not just going, oh, Lou Anarumo. Like all the, because there, I mean, Raheem Morris has three interviews this week, and he just got fired for going.
What you're talking about is
16
is the,
and 18.
What you're talking about here is the Titan search.
Yeah, no, exactly. That is that. I honestly feel like Borgonzi and Brinker, the head dudes there, just were like, hey, should we source this via an article by Ian Rappaport 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I don't want that.
And even that would almost be almost a shot at Ian Rappaport's list.
Yeah.
Because even like those guys, even like the Connor Orrs, they always try to come up with one or two guys that people hadn't really thought of, but maybe should be on the horizon of it. They're not even getting cute with the attempts here. At least the Browns are, they're telling you something with this.
And so like, again, that doesn't mean it's going to work out. It doesn't mean they're going to get their next Kevin Stefanski. But I think it's a little early to panic and do the doomsday crap with this thing. I don't know Harbaugh will take the job. That's on Jimmy Haslam to try and make it happen. I don't know that whoever, if Harbaugh goes to somewhere else, I don't know that coach will then come here if it's a standing coach in the playoffs right now. I don't know. And again, they could get it wrong. It is in the wheelhouse of possibilities for the Cleveland Browns. But every time there's a new name, there's some sort of sky is falling. And it's just, I think it's a little early. It's just, let's let this one breathe a little bit, like a fine wine, because that's what I've heard you do with wine. I don't drink wine, but that's what I would imagine I would do.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking like, oh, you're going to let that wine go 2 weeks. People let it go like, 80 years. And they're like, this is a fine wine. We got two, three weeks, around there.
It's been about 26 years.
But what happens this weekend is going to be incredible for the fallout of all of this.
And chaos and carnage, baby.
I mean, it really has a chance to just be fireworks across this whole entire coaching change. And I don't know, maybe the end result is Packers fire LaFleur, Harbaugh goes to Green Bay, LaFleur goes to Baltimore, and we were never in the running for any of it. You can't put all your eggs in any of the top tier baskets. But you get to at least have these conversations and attempt to pull it off.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Also hit us up on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat. Again, like that video. We like to be liked. Will the Browns take flack for not landing Harbaugh if that's what comes of this week or this next couple weeks? Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Ashley Bastock at 3:20. Ross Tucker at 4 o'clock. So much more. We're going to look back at what we got right and what we got wrong with our preseason predictions later in the show as well. But 216-474-0092. Will the Browns take flack for not landing Harbaugh if that's how this goes? We'll react to that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.